Hey everyone, I know you've heard me speak about microdosing and how much I love it. And I'm talking about microdosing THC. I love it. And that's why I love our sponsor, microdose.com. Microdose gummies are incredible. They deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And when I mean just the right amount of good, I mean in so many situations. Anxiety, sleep, focus, pain, relaxation. There are so many different strains and they're really helpful. And I have recommended microdose.com to so many people. And you know what they say to me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid of microdosing. Go to microdose.com and you'll learn all about microdosing THC. These gummies feel amazing. They taste amazing. I have used them to get me into the zone I need to write. I've used them at night after a stressful day or a stressful show to relax. I have also said to family members, please take a gummy right now. And they've said, oh, good idea. So check it out. Check it out because they're fantastic. And I'm not like a big weed person. I mean, I used to be. And I do enjoy weed every now and then. But I love these gummies. And I take them with me everywhere. So check it out. Don't be afraid. They're all natural. They're fantastic. And you deserve it. So what are you going to do? You're going to do something that is fantastic. You're going to get 30% off your first order. 30% off. That's a lot. Plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Use promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD. It's available nationwide. They deliver it to your door. That is microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD for 30% off and free shipping. Do it. Go to microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD. You deserve it. You deserve it. And you know what else? You're welcome.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer. So let's bring her out. The star attraction. The one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
Your mother died of lung cancer, but before she died of lung cancer, your father started, I love this story. He was a very well-respected professor and journalist and had a massive effect on his students. And the reason I really relate to this is your father started falling and just losing some of his faculties. And you went to Dr. Oliver Sacks.
Yes.
And he had a cerebellum atrophy.
Exactly.
My mother had the same exact thing. And that's what she died from. And it started in the early 90s. Mm-hmm. And we went to every doctor. She would fall. She would get dizzy. She would slur her speech. And I took her. We went to the Mayo Clinic. Every neurologist, and you know, it's also, oh, she's hysterical. And finally, a doctor said, your cerebellum is atrophying, and it was at a slow rate. Mm-hmm. And they said it could have been, and some people get it at a fast rate, but she was at a very slow rate. They said it could have been caused by a fever she had when she was 2 years old. Like, they don't know.
They don't know.
But when I read that, I was blown away.
I'm actually getting chills because it didn't really have a specific diagnosis. So this is, it's so rare. And for my dad, it was a very long, so painful because he was completely cognizant of what was going on.
And same.
Sometimes it was his articulation because it was the muscles, but his brain was always intact. So for, you know, a professor and a public speaker not to be able to speak.
Right.
Was horrifying.
Yeah.
And
the falling and the dizziness and the fact that everyone was like,
well, it could be this, it could be vertigo, it could be, you know, and it was all these other things. And finally, when we found out, and then I read that and I thought, oh my God, I can't believe someone else went through this. Because my mother was also that way. Very well read, very knowing, and to see I remember looking in her eyes and the fear, because the falling, and you write about this too, falling is a huge thing for older people. And after your first big fall, I feel like everything changes.
It does. You know, and there are two things about that I'd love to just talk about. So the three of us, the kids, you know, we worked so hard to not tread on his independence.
Right.
And yet to try to be helpful. And, you know, we even talked to his shrink about ways to do that and ways not to. And we, you know, and so we kind of like would finally get him to agree to put in a grab bar in the bathroom. And then the next day he would have it taken out.
Right.
So it was this battle that was hard for everyone. And I think in the end, we all lost because we actually couldn't, we couldn't get to the right place.
Right.
It was terrible. But on the plus side, he retired from NYU probably in his early 70s. And then when he started getting sick, we had all these health aides and his, we didn't call him professor, but one of these aides started calling Professor Petro. Yeah. And the most stubborn man on the planet, you'd call him Professor Petro and he'd be like, what do you want me to do? I'll take those medicines. I'll clean this up. I'll do that. And, you know, the lesson there was such implicit respect by kind of restoring him, you know, to this title.
That was his identity. Yeah.
Identity. And that's so true for many men. And then when they were both gone, we were working on their grave markers. And first we thought they had to be kind of like parallel in sentiment. And for our mother, we wrote like beloved mother and grandmother.
Right.
And we're trying to do something like that for my dad, but we wound up with professor and journalist because that's who he was.
Right. Love that. I love that story. Because, of course, I dealt with a million home health aides. But, you also talk about, you know, humor. I mean, my mother would always be like, right now, she used it, you know, whenever I started talking about something like that, she was like, I'm doing this gig for the gays and the gays and the trans and the gays. And she goes, Judith, right now I'm so dizzy, you know? So we used to just make fun of her, you know, and you talk about that, about how important that, which is what I love so much, laughter and humor. You talk about my friend, Lori Kilmartin, who tweeted about her father dying and how important it is to laugh.
And also so many of these topics, we don't want to talk about them.
Right.
We don't want to feel them. So I tried to bring in, I mean, these were real life stories of humor.
Right.
It's a way to open the door. It's a way to sort of take down the temperature. And, you know, so I talked about them having the grave markers. Well, there was 10 years before we were in the cemetery in Sag Harbor. My mom had canceled that trip like four times. I have to go to the hairdresser. I have to manicure, anything but here. We're finally out there in the winter. My dad, he goes and wanders off like he always did. And then he comes back and he said, I'm in. Clay Felker, the founder of New York Magazine,
is
down here. It's a good neighborhood. Now my mom is like, if I say yes, can I get a gin and tonic right now? We're like, but that's how we found our way through that.
Right.
And, it's kind of we bought six plots because they were cheaper by the half dozen. And, it's like I wrote, it's the cheapest real estate in the Hamptons. hard things to talk about.
Your father left a book called Very Short Fictions, which you sort of finished, right? Would you think you finished or edited and they weren't fictions?
They were not fictions. I know he wrote the entire book himself. I have used some of that book in my book. And it was a dark book. We talked a little bit. That's where he wrote about his relationship with me as a guest. But he also talked about how at NYU he was considered dead wood, an old tree at a certain point. And he also had many disappointments about his life.
Right.
He was very open about them under the guise of fiction. I think maybe he and I, this is another way that I'm the same. we're better at expressing our emotions on the printed page.
Right, right.
And, you know, openly like this. Although,
right,
you're so good as a doctor here.
I'm a really good doctor, Dr. Judy.
I have no barriers.
I love it. So
you're going to have transference, Judy. I'm going to be in love with you by the end of our
time. Oh, good.
Yes.
As long as you're cut and you have a medium ball, I'm fine.
Okay, thank you for reminding everyone.
You have to, for all of my listeners, you have to tell the scone story.
Oh, the scone story.
I love this story.
So, do you know what? I've been on this tour for a while now. No one has asked me about the scone story. Thank you.
You're on a Judy Gold podcast.
It's my favorite story.
I love that story. Okay, go.
So I am at a bakery known for its scones, and there's a long line, and I'm watching those scones disappear one by one by one. And I'm praying that I get to the line, to the head of the line, so that I get a scone. And the line's behind me, and there's some guy behind me. And finally, it's my turn. And I said,
well, the woman in front of you, there was one left, and she ordered a croissant, right?
She, you know, so there I'm like melting down. You know,
you think she's going to get the woman in front of you, you think she's going to get the last scone, and you're like, oh, please don't.
I've been waiting 25 minutes.
She orders a croissant.
That's my scone. Then it's my turn. The scone is there. I order it. And this stranger just like shouts out, no, that's my scone. I've been waiting online forever. And I'm like, so I turn around.
And you're in front of him.
I'm in front of him. So whatever his definition of forever is, it's plus something on mine.
Right.
So as you know, I grew up in New York. My instinct normally would have been like, fuck you, that's mine.
Yeah, go fuck yourself.
I drove here.
Right.
Something came over me and I just said to him, would you like half? And he's like, well, I'll buy something else and share that with you. And he did, and I did, and
but was he shocked when you said that?
He was shocked, but I was shocked.
Right.
By myself.
Right.
And
he bought some, what did he buy?
I think he bought a croissant.
Okay.
That was all that was left at that point. But we did, then we went outside and we talked for about an hour. We had nothing in common, but we found like this common ground through literally breaking croissants and scones in half. And it was a really telling moment. And it was the other part of it was I kind of overrode my instinct, which was to be snarky and territorial.
Right.
And that little bit of kindness made him a little bit kinder. And then since then, I've read like all these studies that kindness is like a virus also. If I'm nice to you, you're going to be nice to Laura.
Right.
You're going to be nice to somebody else. And you pass it along, just like all the bullying and meanness that gets passed along when somebody
right.
hits somebody. So, it's
so funny because there's so many times lately, which I want to talk about the disease of the nastiness that we've had for the last 4 years, where people are like armed and ready to go. And if you just simply like, I was at the Stop and Shop, and I had a shitload of groceries and I saw behind and I was waiting and I saw the woman behind me had like, two things of muffins and a thing of, or two things of cookies and like a muffin. And she was looking and I was putting all my stuff on the thing. And I go, do you want to go ahead of me? Mm-hmm. And it was like, I knew she was thinking, fuck shit, what, you know, and it made her day. It made her day. And Elisa, my lover, was like, you let her go ahead of you? And I go, yeah, she has two things, three things. And it made my day.
Exactly. We get so much back by being nice.
Right.
I mean, everybody should try it.
Hey, everyone. You know what I just did? I tore, I poured, and I enjoyed a packet of Liquid IV. Because I love Liquid IV. Liquid IV is a major part of my life. And I just worked out with my trainer and I had a delicious lemon ginger, liquid IV. That one has a little extra. That has a little green tea in it, and so that's a little caffeinated. So I enjoy that because I needed it today. And, you know, it's getting warmer out, and what does that mean? Summer. Oh, God, please come. It can't come soon enough. And that means you have to hydrate. And that's what Liquid IV does. It hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients. And it has 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in one little stick. And that's why Liquid IV is the number one powered hydration brand in America. Okay? And I love it. I use it every day. Ben's basketball team uses it. It is a science-backed formula that works. It keeps you hydrated. And they have sugar-free. They have sugar-free packets in white peach, green grape, raspberry melon, and lemon lime. Okay? I didn't do the sugar-free. Okay. But Elisa does the sugar-free. So what are you going to do? You're going to stay hydrated because it's very, very important. And Liquid IV has been a longtime sponsor, and I love them. And they are a quality product. And this is what you're going to do. You're going to turn your turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's JUDYGOLD. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD, can't even say my name, at liquidiv.com. Got it? You're welcome.
Okay. These are things I really want to discuss. Dealing with divisiveness. Now, I have a relative, a close relative, who is a Trump supporter,
mm-hmm.
as is her husband.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, it's so fraught with walking on eggshells and waiting, you know, so we try not to get into it, but it's always looming.
Right.
And it's like, because the other person is waiting for an in to go, you know what I mean? Like, we'll all be together and no politics, but it's an eggshell walk. It's like, and anything can be an in. Like, you, I'm completely avoiding it, but I know she is ready for, like, and it's for, even for me to say, oh, throw the recycling over there. That's an in. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, any little, oh my God, it's unusually hot today. You know, whatever.
Your proponent, you're against, you know, climate change.
Right, right. It'll be anything. It'll be anything. Just, and you say that if you are at someone's house for a dinner party, or the host is the boss and sets the rules, and sarcasm and snark are no-nos. Now, as a lesbian and a Jew, I mean, I can't, with the sarcasm, I can't live without. And you're gay, you have to be snarky. So what do you mean by the sarcasm and snark are no-nos? Only, like, you can be your personality.
You can. So I'm really glad you and I are having this conversation, because we are the same way in this.
Right.
No, we have an outward persona. We use words. We use our personality, sometimes in an acute way.
Right.
We're not mean people.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about.
You
don't want the mean to be what's driving what's going on. You can be funny. You know, you can be snarky, but not
mean.
You know, it's obviously an advanced, you need an advanced degree in this.
Right.
But it is someone, you know, the host is in charge. And I'm just like, I've been talking about it recently with vaccine and vaccine etiquette.
Right.
Ugh. If you have people over to your house, you set the rules.
Right.
No, you need to be vaccinated. You need to stay 1200 feet away from me, whatever it is.
Right.
You know, and you want to, you know, you want to make people comfortable. And sometimes that means they don't even get to come.
Right. But, yeah. It's funny, because the other night, for my show here in Provincetown, two women were going to get tickets, and they said, well, you need to show your vaccination card and you have to wear a mask. And they're like, fuck that. I don't know why I hit the bell. You fuck that. You know, she could have had two people, but because you're blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I don't want you there. I'd rather not sell the tickets to someone who believes that, you know, it's what I find fascinating is, you know, comedians are getting canceled because someone doesn't like their joke, you know, which is just to make you laugh. If you don't like it, move on with your life, you know? And yet I read, there's articles in the paper about how to speak to anti-vaxxers. No, it's ridiculous. I don't have to, you're an asshole. That is how to speak it. You are a fucking selfish asshole. And
okay. No, I would disagree with you here.
Okay.
In that, you know, everybody who's not vaccinated is not an anti-vaxxer.
Well, no, I know that. I'm talking about the ones who are.
Be careful about not dumping everyone into that.
Yes, people with immune problems, I am not talking about you.
People until recently who were pregnant, you know, it wasn't
right. Right, right.
People from the Black community have legitimate reasons to be suspicious. So
yes, I agree with all of those.
But then, you know, when you get to like just the holdouts, yeah, then you have, I mean, I had a painter at my house this week. He was telling me that Nancy Pelosi went to China in 2019 and she brought the virus back in her Louis Vuitton purse.
Oh, like, my God, I can't take it.
It was like, who would ever ruin a Louis Vuitton purse? Not get a grip. I mean, that has to be a conspiracy.
Well,
I mean,
he did a good paint job if he did that room. He did a nice work.
Yeah, he did a very right.
Well, he's an idiot. Okay. Age-appropriate clothing.
Mm-hmm. So I talk about my mom with that a lot. So she was always a very well-dressed, well-put-together woman. And right. She liked to show it off.
Right.
And how old are you?
I'm 58.
I'm 64. And, you know, in our community especially, you kind of get over, I don't know, is it 40 or 50? You start to become invisible.
Right.
Yeah, it's all about...
Well, for a woman, you know, it's like 35. Okay, right. Go ahead.
So I talk about, you know, we need to stay visible. And part of how we stay visible is our appearance. You know?
Right.
You know, and that... So my mom wore like Pucci and Gucci underwear until she passed. And but it was also just a way with color and sense of self to say, I am here, pay attention to me. And it's, not in a narcissistic
yes. way. Yeah, like I would...
Totally narcissistic.
Right. I would buy really, I love sneakers and I have now made this decision. I am not going to be uncomfortable anymore by wearing shoes that I don't, that are fashionable, but no, I'm not doing it. So I have really cool sneakers. And sometimes my sons are like, mommy, you can't wear that. My friends wear that. And I'm like, too bad, too bad.
No. And my ex-husband, I do wear short crop blazers and
yeah.
jeans. And he was like, that's so inappropriate for your age. And I'm like, he was my age.
Right.
Old man, you know, everything's falling off you. Don't
right.
talk to me about that.
I'm so glad you got divorced from him. I hate him now.
Me too.
okay. This is one thing I really loved that you wrote about. I've done so much research, so I could have just heard of this.
Okay.
This might be an article you wrote. The importance of names. I am always like, someone tells me their name. I'm like, okay, Jennifer. Like I notice, even when I'm doing a, you know, a TV show or I meet someone on the crew or a PA who, and saying their name is like a validation. And so I was just in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. My friend who knows who she is.
She knows her name.
She knows who she is. Cause this is, was our, we met on the set and we became really good friends and she's kept saying, do you want to do that, hon? What, hon? And she would say it and it really made me crazy. And it's like, don't call me hon, call me Judy. But it wasn't just that she was calling me hon. Like first it was just me. And then I realized, mm-hmm. She does it to everyone. And it was very off-putting.
You know, our names are are our identifiers.
Right.
We are not visible. We are not recognized when people are calling us hon or this or that or the wrong name.
Right.
And that applies even more, you know, if you're talking about someone who's trans.
Right. You know, I love this Caitlyn Jenner. Tell the Caitlyn Jenner story.
Yeah. So that's from my TED talk. And yeah. So I was at this dinner party pre-COVID, you know, around the time Caitlyn was transitioning. And we kind of got into it. And my friend, the host, was like, don't tell me to call her Caitlyn and not this, and to use this pronoun and not that. You know, you're trying to, you know, you're politically correct and so on and so forth. And I said, look, that is the name that she wants to go by. You got married a little while ago and you changed your name, and we all call you now so-and-so last name. You know, it's
right.
It's about respect. You know, you didn't make me do it. I did it because that's who you are now. And she didn't get it at the time.
Ugh.
A couple of years later, she did. But, you know, it's frustrating because that is so much about our identities, and we want to be visible. We want to be respected.
Right. You say civility is an obsolete word, and that we are now confusing the right. You write about, or you talk about the right mm-hmm. and the left. The right is confusing politeness with being woke.
Right. And so, you know, if we go back to the beginning of this conversation, you know, we have stationery from our mothers writing thank you notes. That is nice. That is polite. That's kind of though the patina or the dressing of what it means to actually respect somebody, listen to somebody. And that part we're deficient in. But we have we think that civility means good manners. Like I know which fork to use.
Right.
Civility, when you go back to, you know, sort of the Latin and the French, it means thinking about we and not me.
Right.
Community, not my family. The larger sense of, you know, sort of what we're doing here.
And right.
So that's what I'm talking about when I talk about civility and versus, you know, sort of being nice, being well-mannered.
Right.
You know, and in the South, people are very well-mannered. They've been that way for centuries, you know, and it's the home of slavery. You could be a very nice.
Right. I always I don't trust that with the, okay. And I'm thinking, what did your great grandfathers do? Like, it's so horrible that I think that.
It's so, the word that comes to mind is dichotomous, which is
right.
The word.
But, right.
It doesn't, it just doesn't make sense.
It's, and so, yeah.
And, so we need to be authentic in our relationships too.
Right. Well, if I'm anything, it is authentic.
But by that, I mean, engage, disagree, but don't make it personal. Don't say, you know, what people even said, like about Melania Trump, I was reading today, you know, how, you know, what she looked like. That's not the point.
Right.
You got to speak.
It really isn't. That jacket she wore, that's the point.
That's the point. And, you know, Judy, one of the things I learned from doing this book, and I learned this from readers, so many of the topics are hard. And by becoming open and vulnerable, it allowed me and my family to talk more about them.
Right.
And there were two times when my mom said, what's going to happen when I die?
Right.
And the first two times I came back and I said, Mom, what do you want for dinner tonight? I could not deal with it.
Right.
The third time when she said it, I realized I have to step in. I have to become into this conversation and go with it. And I think there's a metaphor there. If we can make ourselves vulnerable with people that we know and care about, we can find more connection and we can go. And so it's kind of a larger takeaway from this. And we get past the labels.
Right. Because you can't avoid this, talking about stuff like this. Christine Blasey Ford. You talked about, it was an article.
The Washington Post.
Post, right.
And, you know, so this was during the confirmation hearings for Judge Kavanaugh. And she was constantly referred to as like the other woman.
Right.
She wasn't, the headlines did not even use her name.
Right.
Again, this is about, I think the headline of that column was call her by her name.
Right.
You know, and gets back to what we're talking about. And
right.
Women are often diminished in that way. Gays can be. And you know, we need to say Christine Blasey Ford.
Right.
And
the truth.
Yes.
I can't stand. Can you believe what they did? The SCOTUS? Like, I can't even. I'm so upset about it.
I mean, the earlier thing this month?
The Texas. Yeah. I can't believe. I mean, thank God my mother's dead. Because that generation of women, what they went through, it's ridiculous. Like, your mother would be freaking out, don't you think?
So my mother's second to last words were, give money to Planned Parenthood.
No way. I love her, your mother.
Her very last words were, I want to divorce your father.
No way.
And she had to read it. And I said, Mom, it's too late. But we'll give the Planned Parenthood. And that was right. In the obituary.
Oh my God, that's fucking hilarious.
Hey everyone, did you know that Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the United States with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States? And I'm one of them. You're listening to one of them. Fast Growing Trees has everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, house plants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and your space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. Forever. I just want you to know that I just got off a plane and I walked in my apartment. What was the first thing I did? Is I came in and said hi to Avi, my fig tree. I'm telling you, and I have Yael, which is another plant, but Fast Growing Trees has changed my atmosphere here in my apartment. You don't need a lot of space, but they do have, you know, they have stuff for outdoor spaces. But I live in an apartment, and I'm telling you, Avi and Yael, yes, they're both Jewish names, Hebrew, the space looks so much better. And I just had a conversation with Avi. Like, I was like, I missed you. I love having living things here. It's very, very, I don't know, it's made this more of a home. It's the best. And Elisa has some too. And she loves them. And she talks to them too. But she got that from me. Anyway, check out Fast Growing Trees. You need to be around plant life. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code JUDYGOLD, J-U-D-Y-G-O-L-D, at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code JUDYGOLD. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. You're welcome.
I am fascinated by you. And I want to know what, I mean, you're so aware, right? Of all this stuff. Do you ever just say, all right, you know what? I'm not even going to think about that slob or the way that person's speaking. Do you ever, like the other night I had friends over, I made this big lasagna, right? Mm-hmm. And then, and I cook. And so I always invite people over. And then I get annoyed because they don't act the way I want them. So I said, I will make this, you know, lasagna. Can you bring a salad? They bring a salad, no salad dressing. Right. And it's like, oh, sorry. I didn't know you wanted how would you not know? So I have to make some salad dressing because I hate store-bought salad dressing. So I got annoyed at that. And then I gave them all real, and I made garlic bread and all this stuff. And I gave them, I gave everyone a big piece of lasagna, garlic bread. I made the salad dressing. And then one of the guests is like, gets up from the table. And I go, what are you doing?
She's like, dinner? In the middle of dinner?
Well, yeah, we're all sitting eating. Yeah. And she gets up with her plate. She's like, I'm going to go get another piece. It's like, A, you're not getting another piece. I'm getting the piece for you. And I said, ugh, I'll get it. But, and then I was like, ugh, because I gave them such big pieces because I wanted leftovers.
Right.
And I said, so I will get it for you, but I really want, I didn't really want you to have a second. I told her that.
Now, I've lost.
I know that was wrong.
This story, but
but
But you know what it reminds me of? You remember the old Mary Tyler Moore show? And Lou, is it the Christmas dinner? And she has...
God rest your soul, Ed Asner. Yeah. Yeah.
He has 6 pieces of veal Prince Orloff. Right. And he takes 3.
Right.
Mr. Grant, I only have 6.
Right.
No, people do not, they don't think enough sometimes.
Right. And it's like, they all are mad at me. They're like, oh, are you going to be yelling about this and yelling? And I'm like, it's just annoying. Like, don't get up from the table. I'm serving. And then I was giving her the piece. She goes, can I have that a little more pasta part? You know, I was like, shut up. Take what you get and shut the fuck up. And my mother also had this rule. If it's not on the table, don't ask. Is that true?
Yes, that is true. And
oh, fuck.
You know, your other point, which is about how what you and I do.
Right.
People are afraid they're going to wind up, I'm sure, in your act.
Right.
Homes. And, you know, and I was having a sort of a heated conversation with a friend last night, and she said in the middle of it, I don't want you writing about this.
Right.
And I wanted to say, too late, you're in the middle.
Yeah, right. No, it's true. But do you ever just stop and just go, I'm not going to, I don't.
I, you know, I do go off duty.
You do.
I do. You know, I need to recharge.
Right.
Sort of, you know, let go.
I'm always with my notebook. And did you know my friend Bob Smith? Because you remind me of him so much.
I know of Bob Smith, but I did not.
He was my best friend. You guys would have loved each other.
Well, I'm single still.
He's dead. He died.
I know. I'm just saying in.
Oh, right.
To people who are alive, I'm saying.
Right. Yes. And he has one very nice ball that hasn't aged at all.
It's plastic.
Yeah, it's plastic and it's not drooping. Okay. First of all, everyone please get this book, Stupid Things I Won't Do When I Get Old. But also read Stephen's other books and article. I love you. I could talk to you all day. Now, I always ask my podcast guests 2 questions. Mm-hmm. One, we're very pro mental health. Mm-hmm. So what do you do for your mental health? I'm on antidepressants. I meditate. I practice the piano and I exercise.
Well, I, it took me until 4 years ago to actually publicly acknowledge that I suffer from depression and anxiety, you know, a lot.
It's the same thing. We're the same person. All right.
And it was, you know, and it was a hard, you know, I've written about having cancer, being misdiagnosed with AIDS, so on and so forth. That was probably one of the hardest things I've written about because I was still internalizing that stigma.
Right.
And just this week, I finished a column for the Washington Post, which talks about the language, again, we use around mental health. You know, and I'm talking about Simone Biles and about Naomi Osaka. But people say to each other, it diminishes us. It's so hurtful. So, you know, so I talk about it. I try when I'm sort of not able to be myself, not to lie anymore and to say, I can't be there because I'm not feeling well for mental health reasons, rather than lying and sort of putting it under the carpet again. And that's
oh my God, I love that. You know, Stephen, I'm giving you my phone number because I have, when I have the days, you know what I'm talking about, where you're like, okay, tomorrow's another, like, I just got to get through today. There are a few people I text. So I'm giving you my number because it's the people that know that it is going to get better, but it doesn't feel like it. And it's so hard, but I find that interesting that you find out recently about this. When I had a bad clinical depression, and it was bad. I was like out of commission, you know, it changed me drastically. Like that was definitely a before and after, but it also made me so cognizant of the fact that I had this disease my entire life, diurnal depression, that the anxiety of waking up in the morning, you know, like it made me think back to because you recognize the feeling. You're like, oh, I had this feeling blank. And I had this feeling then, and I had this feeling. And I always say I go on stage, I say I'm mentally ill and I'm proud of it, you know, but it is something we really have to talk about as like, you know, I have a cut on my arm, you know?
Exactly. You know, we don't make fun of people. We don't diminish people who have cuts, cancer, right, whatever. But it comes to mental health, it's a, you know, it's a joke, you know,
right,
you can be mocked. And it makes me so angry.
Yeah, me too. Like,
you know, because the culture just keeps perpetuating.
And the stuff with Naomi and Simone, and I went through this with my son. I hope he doesn't get mad that I, but he was a D1 athlete, and he's like, I can't feel like this anymore. And he's now playing Division 3.
Right.
And haven't heard him this happy in years. But that, all this stuff that people opining about, oh, she doesn't know how good she has it and blah, 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 and they're not tough. And it, I want to kill them. I want to kill these people.
Yeah. Tough, you know, is not the answer.
Right.
You know, and self-understanding and self-compassion is the first part. And then proper treatment. I didn't get the right treatment for a long time.
Right.
And that was because, you know, I appeared high functioning and
right,
so forth. You did too, I'm sure. And
yeah.
And
but now I feel like, you know, do you take meds?
I take meds.
Yeah. So I feel like, and I've tried to switch meds because I'm like, oh, I gain weight or this or that, or, oh, I can't have an orgasm, but I worked it out and with the doctor, and yeah, it's like if I had diabetes, you know?
Yeah. Well, I take a med for my depression. I take a med for cholesterol, and it's,
yeah, I do too. Are you on a statin?
I am.
Rosuvastatin?
No, just plain old Lipitor.
Oh, I think mine's the same thing. Whatever. Okay. So that's number one. I love that. And number two is, this is going to be hard for you. Oh, maybe it won't be.
No.
I call the podcast Kill Me Now because I get annoyed at every, I really do. Like, there are things that drive me up a fucking wall. Like right now, what's really pissing me off is the chin diaper where they wear the mask only over the mouth. And it's like, ooh, you're just such a fucking, it's so passive aggressive. Like, I can't, like, put it over your nose and don't act like you don't know that it's supposed to go over your nose or that it's not on your nose. Okay. So what, that's my kill me now for this week. What pisses you off more than anything in the entire world?
So in a way, this should be hard, but it's right, really easy.
Yeah.
I think it's so disgusting when people wear flip-flops on planes.
Oh my God. Yes, 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 yes. Now,
I do not want to see your feet. I do not want you putting them up. I want you wearing shoes and socks. And
you know what, Steven?
That kill me now.
That, it, you don't want to know something else? It's dangerous because they say don't wear flip-flops on planes in case you have to run off.
Right.
You can't run. It drives me up a wall. You know what else drives me up a wall? I'll get on a plane at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
There'll be a woman full makeup, skinny, like a dress, like with her vagina hanging out. I'm like, what, did you get up at 2 in the morning and have hair and makeup come over to your house? Like, no. Or people who drink. They're like, I'm on a 7 a.m. flight. And they're like, yeah, I'll have a vodka ton. Yeah. I'm like, what are you doing today? Whatever.
You're too funny. I'm hearing envy, though, in this set.
No, I can't. I can't with the makeup. But I also, the flip-flops drive me crazy. I just look at the feet like, what is wrong? You have no self-esteem. None.
No. And God knows what diseases you're
spreading. Yeah, exactly. Steven, I had so much fun. I love you. Can I come visit you? When are you going to be in New York or P-Town? You got to come to P-Town. Have you been here?
I have. I love it.
Yeah. Okay.
Are you there most of the time, or is this just a...
Well, I have been staying here most of the time, which was my dream and goal of my life. And now, you know, the pandemic, I came in March of 2020. I've been here most of the time, and I love it.
Well, you know, I love, I think it's called East End Books, Jeff.
Yes, yes, yes.
We have to get me to do a reading there. So,
well, yeah, I love that. The guy's great. I did something there, but it was a pandemic. So I just had to go over and sign books and stuff, but we did something online.
Yeah, he's great. So
yeah. So where can people find you? Please buy this book.
They can find me at stephenpetrow.com.
And P-E-T-R-O-W.
Yes, W at the end. And the book is available at booksellers everywhere, including the behemoth Amazon.
Yes. And do you have links on your website?
I do, to everything we talked about.
Are you on social media?
I am, and Stephen Petrow for just about Twitter.
Everything, and I really hate social media, which is next time we talk.
We'll talk about that.
I have a love-hate relationship with it, and it's driving me crazy. I wish I just liked writing and getting on stage at night, not having to, like, you know.
For people like us, it's a useful platform and tool, but I have right. so many misgivings about it otherwise.
Yes, yes, same. Stephen, thank you so much. I wish you only the best. I wish I could have met your parents. Only one.
They would have loved you, and I love you. Thank you.
I was
nervous beforehand. You know,
why?
And I was like,
oh no, this was the best. You're the best. I'm giving you my phone number.
Okay.
All right. We're official friends right now.
Good. And I want your mailing address.
What's coming? Thank you so much.
Until the next time. Thank you.
And good luck with this. It's a fucking great book.
Thank you so much for listening to part two of Kill Me Now with the one and only Stephen Petrow. I mean, how great is he? I love him. We're BFFs now. Kill Me Now is produced by Laura Vogel, edited by Colin Schmeling. The podcast would not be possible without the help of Brittany Jo Sowards. And you people, subscribe, leave a review. I say this every week, 5 stars. Please, I need some positive reinforcement. You know what I'm saying? Because I can't believe I have a shitty rating on Uber. I'm really nice. I think people don't understand me. Anyway, go to my website. You'll see all things Judy. I can't even go to it because I can't stand myself. But, you know, go. Also, on Sunday, as my mother used to say, I will be in Minneapolis at the Pay Gap Festival at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds. I'm very excited. I love Minnesota and St. Paul, Minnesota. What else is going on? Vaxxed people are the best. Anti-vaxxers, go fuck yourself. Been wearing a mask, hating the subway. Because people are just out of control. But I do wear a mask and I take pictures of all the people not wearing a mask, and I don't know what I'm going to do with them, but I'm going to do something like an installation. I can't believe you're still listening to me speak. I love you all. I really do appreciate your support of this podcast, which is a labor of love and is costing me money. But I just love it. I love it. Don't tell anyone I said this, but I do love people and I love talking to people, even though I do hate everyone. But anyway, follow me on Twitter, Instagram, at Judy Gold, JEWDYGOLD, because I'm Jewish. I hope all the Jews had a easy fast last week and are sealed in the book of life. I'm already starting with my sins because, you know, I have a whole year. So everyone be well. Take care of yourself. And as we always say, so long.
And everything was wonderful. I'll see you soon. Thank you for the visit. So long.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community and of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with 2 young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.